Hi, in today's episode, we have Pooja Sahu. She is the founder and the owner of Potbelly, a restaurant that is in Bangalore, also in Delhi, and quite a few other places that she scaled up. She serves amazing Bihari cuisine. I'm sure quite a few of our listeners have not probably heard of too many Bihari cuisine restaurants in India. So welcome, Pooja, on this podcast today.
Thanks, Mahua, for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm sure as a woman, when you were starting off as a restaurant owner, you know, in a city that's so cluttered, because I remember so many years back that I walked into Shahpur Chaat in Delhi and I walked up those little steps and I went into Potbelly and I ate the food and I kept going back again and again. To bring on a cuisine like Bihari cuisine, how did you muster all the courage? And was it because friends told you that you were cooking at home and you should start something on your own? How was it?
So it actually started with boredom. You know, I was really bored of what I was doing. Okay. I wanted to do something that would drive me, something that where I could really use my untapped potential. And then a friend of mine said I was looking to start a cafe, but it was a very casual thought. It didn't start with the whole idea of glorifying Bihari food, because I didn't think I could sell a cuisine that was Bihari. You know, because of the stereotypes that are attached to Bihar, and nothing pretty or cool is attached to Bihar. In the past, I was often told that, you know, I don't look like a Bihari or I don't sound like one. And I didn't quite get it, but it was just over the period of time, I understood that. So because of the stereotypes, I didn't want to sell anything that was attached to Bihar and of course not call anything. I didn't want to call it Bihari cuisine, but I was so confident of what I had grown up eating. And my mom is an excellent cook that gave me the courage to venture into this. We eventually had to call it Bihari cuisine. That became our USP, because a lot of people wanted to, out of curiosity, climb those four flights and came to try it out, or they thought that it'll be funny to try something called Bihari, or it was just curiosity. And then we got covered really well.
So, you know, when you talk about the stereotype, I think, you know, for most of us, when we think about Bihar, we think about Lalu Prasad Yadav.
Yeah, there was a time someone even asked me, have you seen Lalu Prasad Yadav? Are you related to Lalu Prasad Yadav? Because he has such a large family. So,
I'm just kidding. Because
you're kidding, but people have, that was their perception. People thought that, you know, a fair amount of population is connected or related to Lalu Prasad Yadav.
Bihar is so significantly impacted by Buddhism, you know. I mean, Buddha attained his enlightenment there, which I don't know if too many people know about it. And there's so much of amazing vegetarian fare that's there, in wheat and rice, which is very staple food, you know, in Bihar. Like, for us as Bengalis, we relate to the same kind of food, but of course we don't know how you make the litti and the chokha. The chokha, yes, you know. So tell me a little bit, how difficult was it when you just started in Shahpur Chaat? I still remember those steps and, you know, going up. I no longer live in Delhi, but and it was beautiful in the evenings because the lanterns used to be lit and, you know, it was gorgeous. So did you feel scared when you started it, or it was always packed? How was it?
When I started, as in when the restaurant was ready, how difficult was it to market the cuisine?
Yes.
Yeah, so no, it wasn't busy at all. We went around giving food samples to a lot of offices in Shahpur Chaat, boutiques in Shahpur Chaat. We requested them to come over and try our food. So it was like door-to-door selling, practically. And nothing happened in the first few months, really. But everyone who came those four flights up, came back again with their friends, their families, and repeatedly kept coming back. That's how it picked up organically, and some coverages here and there. We didn't even ask for, we didn't approach any food writer or critics. We just went with the flow, and it organically picked up with a lot of word of mouth, positive word of mouth going around for our place.
Tell the listeners a little about Bihari cuisine. Mustard oil is one of those really amazing things that you get to taste when we eat Bihari and Bengali food. And that's why it's something that I'm very drawn to, because I grew up again with this whole smell of the mustard oil.
Yeah,
you know, piping hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you add the masalas and, you know, and it's also considered among the healthy oils apart from coconut oil. So tell us a little about Bihari cuisine.
So I really feel privileged today that I had grown up on such an amazing, glorious, rich cuisine. And so I really didn't value it then.
Us do.
Yeah, I didn't really thank my mother, grandmother for, you know, serving us such good food, nourishing us with such nutritious food. But today, when people come back to us and can't thank us enough for starting this, then I realize that, you know, I truly am fortunate. So there are a lot of factors that shape food in various regions, you know, climate, culture, belief system, soil, the produce that is in abundance. So, of course, I really am not an expert or anything, but I just feel that the cuisine is so diverse because of all these factors. And also when you talk about the richness in the food, I really feel that that richness came from a lot of foreign settlements that happened there in that region, which really added finesse to the food. As it is, our food was, I think the rustic flavors also so amazing. To add richness to that, those rustic flavors made the food even more delectable.
There is the influence of the Afghans and the Turks, the Mughals, the Guptas and the Maurya. You know, the Mauryans, they all came in, and Bihari cuisine is so distinct and unique because of all of this. And so wheat and rice is the staple food, right?
Yeah, mostly rice, actually. I would not even say wheat that much. Yeah, okay. Because there are several varieties of rice.
So tell me, what about these names? Isn't that a problem? Because you know what? You have such delicious food. I mean, I love potbelly. And the names and the awareness of the names like Litti Chokha, so many people down south, they don't even know the way you guys make it. So do you think there's a little bit of truth in that? Because people don't know about
It's a lesser known cuisine. And apart from Litti Chokha, in fact, people don't know anything else. The sattu, yes. So sattu is, these are roasted black gram flour. And it's when I thought I'll start making sattu in-house, I realized the procedure is very, very long and tedious. And there's a lot of, it's very manual and it's tough. But sattu is a high protein grain. So you have sattu in various forms. You can make a nice cool cold drink summers, and it is like a meal in itself. It's also you also use sattu as a filling for parathas. You spice it, and then of course the sattu that goes, the filling that goes into the litti is also sattu. So it's extremely flavorful, extremely nourishing, and filling at the same time.
What do you cook at home, Pooja?
What I cook at home, my food is very simple. I love my khichdi. I love the aloo chokha with a punch of mustard. It adds, that zest to it.
Yes.
I make everything that you can eat on a daily basis. I use a lot of marua flour, the ragi flour, to make roti, so I don't eat that much gluten. I make the sabzis that we eat at home. Also a lot of stuff that we serve at Potbelly. In a simpler form.
Okay, it's not with the spices and the rest of it now in the restaurant, but a more home kind of a cuisine, right?
Yeah, more home, mildly flavored.
Yeah, so you're of course naturally passionate about food, you know, and what are the other things that really tick for you, Pooja?
Tick as in what aspect of life?
As a person, you know, I'm sure the listeners would like to know. The girl called Pooja Sahu behind Potbelly. What are the other things apart from Potbelly that she likes?
What I like doing is, it doesn't seem like I would be into fitness, but I used to love working out. I have been learning martial arts for many years.
Looking at you. Wow, martial arts. And what sort of martial arts?
Yeah, so before I had my baby, I was kind of fit. I was really fit. And after that, I never really got the time to go back to it and practice it diligently. So that is something that keeps me going. My workouts, experimenting with food at home. When I travel, I like to try different cuisines. And I like to make notes and come back and try it out at home. Then I like to sit at home and watch a lot of movies.
Okay,
just
what kind
do
of
the
films?
Regular. I love, I like watching just about anything. Nothing violent. And I don't like these Western films that much, like Godfather and stuff. But I do like documentaries. I like, I'm hooked to a lot of series. I like larger than life series. Like I loved Game of Thrones. I could watch it back to back. I love Amazing Mrs. Maisel. Nice. I love a lot of comedy. And I love going for shows. I'm an outdoor person. So I love stepping out. I don't like very crowded places. So I like to go to small towns. I like to just go for a drive. I don't like the big social parties at all. So I like to do a lot of things at home. with my close friends and family. So I don't really know that one thing that I do every day diligently.
So what is that one thing that you do diligently every day, Pooja?
So I'm a Buddhist.
Okay.
You mentioned about Buddhism in Bihar.
Yes, yes.
So I practice Buddhism, and what I do diligently every day is pray for 1 hour at least every day. So that is one thing that I do diligently every day. And some things that I do diligently every day is have my Avla juice.
Okay.
That is something I don't skip. And I also have my Dahi Chura diligently. It's a very Bihari thing.
What's
Dahi Chura and
Dahi
Gur.
Chura. Okay, Chura is made
chura
of
Chura is flattened poha. Flattened
chirwa.
Chirwa, yeah, what you call chirwa.
Oh, so do the Bongs do that. The Bengalis also eat the dahi and the chirwa, and we add sometimes, you know, sugar in it. You add the gur.
I add gur. I add raw sugar because I'm trying to avoid sugar, refined sugars. I gave up refined sugar many years ago. And I love sweets, so I definitely can't pull myself away from sweet things.
Tell me about your family and being a woman entrepreneur. How do you balance this whole thing about home and work? And a restaurant means not even being there. You have to be there on weekends because that's when the maximum amount of people come in, right? And which means that you have to give up socializing, and your partner, if he doesn't understand, will be, you know, not exactly very happy if, you know, yeah, the other person is out. So how did you kind of get into this whole balancing factor?
You know, it's a fight every day to balance your life. It's not like,
yes,
it's not something
it
that
is.
You achieve and you're like out there. I think time management, whatever I understand, little of time management helps you balance all, juggle between all these various roles. And it's also, you know, setting out your goals for the day, making sure you accomplish those goals. The other thing I really believe in is delegating work, which I used to always hold myself back from doing. And always micromanaged everything. And then with time, I realized with the paucity of time and the number of things that I had to accomplish in the day, I realized that the best way to go, the best way forward is to delegate the things that you can delegate and focus on those issues that needs your personal attention. So that's something that helped me. I still struggle with time, and I still struggle with time management and accomplishing everything that I set out to achieve in the day.
Do you think we women put ourselves out there to, you know, because this whole, I always feel that, you know, we're so glorified when you say, oh, you have a perfect home, you have a perfect job, a perfect husband, a perfect child, you know, you look perfectly with your hair is perfect, your body is perfect. Do you feel
that's
that
so
that
boring.
Is, most women are so challenged with that. And that's why they push themselves and they really get burnt out sometimes. I mean, do you agree? Because managing a restaurant means like 24/7. You know, you need to have a really, really supportive system at home for people to be there for you, to be able to micromanage the things, and also, you know, when you delegate the stuff because you have a little child, as you said, right? A daughter.
Yeah.
And so how do you balance this whole part out? I mean,
so, you know, I'm blessed with a very supportive family. My husband is super supportive. Okay. He knows how important my work is for me, and he also contributes to it. My daughter has a routine with her nanny. She's very close to her with... I organize her day in a way that she is engaged in something or the other. And then I also have my mother-in-law staying with us most part of the year. So she's very close to her daddy. So, you know, it just so worked out that I'm able to somewhat accomplish whatever I've set out to accomplish in the day. But it's always, you know, you're never really satisfied. Like you said, we always are trying, striving for perfection. And sometimes we get burnt out. But you have to keep reflecting on whether you're getting burnt out or you're pushing yourself to evolve. So there's a very fine line between the two.
And what kind of cuisine does your daughter like? Do you also cook Bihari cuisine for her?
Yeah, so I cook everything that I eat. I give her whatever I eat, even the spices. Of course, they're mildly, not as spicy, but she can handle spices. I don't know of many three and a half year olds who can handle spices the way she does. And she mostly is when we go out to eat, I don't order from the kids' menu. I order what we eat. And she very happily eats what we eat. I've got her used to eating adult food.
Which is good. I did that with my son.
So that they are more flexible.
Absolutely. So tell me about the restaurant in Bangalore. You know, I mean, how did you decide to choose Bangalore as a city?
We wanted to step out of Delhi NCR. Just wanted to challenge myself a little more and also spread this cuisine in other parts of the country. So with whatever resources, bandwidth we had, we thought Bangalore was the best bet. I wanted to open one in Bombay, but we couldn't afford a place there. Okay. So Bangalore was the best option after doing a bit of study and analysis. And yes, we went ahead with it, but it just hurt us because we opened and in 20 days we had to shut. And Bangalore turned out to be our most expensive project because it was it is a labor of love. I wanted it to look a certain way. I wanted one of the best interior designers to design the place. So we did shell out a lot of our savings and put a lot of our heart in it.
And how is it doing right now?
You know, just okay, people are coming back. We have repeats, a lot of repeats and a lot of word of mouth. But in a time like this, there's only so much you can do.
Yes, actually the whole world is struggling, Pooja.
Yeah, so the in good times, we would have been, you know, very good. But because of this, despite all the word of mouth, despite the fact that we've been actively doing our bit, whether it's social media or some promotional activities, it's you can only do so much because, again, there's a, I hear there's a lockdown. Not a lockdown, but there's a curfew.
Yes.
You can't step out after 9. So all these decisions that the government takes also impacts the work. There's nothing much you can do. Yeah. You feel like you're faced against a wall. Despite your best efforts.
But we are all going to soon come out of this. Thank you so much, Pooja, for being on this episode today. And it was awesome to talk to you. And if you could just tell our listeners where your restaurant in Bangalore is and which are the other parts of Delhi that you have Potbelly in, it'll really help for Bangaloreans who want to step out before 9 o'clock and catch the amazing cuisine that is churned out in your restaurant. Please tell our listeners.
Sure, I'd love to tell everyone that we are in 5 locations. In Bangalore, we are on Indira Nagar, 12th Main. It is next to ICICI Bank, diagonally opposite Chayos, right above Third Wave, just so that you can get there without looking for us. And in other cities, we have 2 outlets in Delhi, 1 in Patna, in the Bihar Museum, and we have 1 outlet in Gurgaon.
Excellent. Congratulations. And I'm sure I'm going to see many more Potbelly all around because the day I saw Potbelly from Third Wave, I said I have to go there because I had this whole Delhi nostalgia. And Bangalore has so many people from outside who's come in and people who've been in Delhi, everybody knows about Potbelly. And I dragged my friend and I said that, oh my God, Potbelly is here. And the food, of course, as usual, was amazing. I mean, it just never ever falters in its taste. And I wish you luck in your endeavor, and the pandemic will soon end and we are going to see many more restaurants for you. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Mahua. You've been so kind, and thank you for promoting our restaurant and having this conversation. It was really a delight, and it's always a delight to meet and chat with you.
Absolutely.
So you do such amazing work. I have to congratulate you for all the initiatives that you're doing, for the amazing work you're doing, the fact that you believe in yourself and you're out there without a compromise. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mahua. Bye. Yeah.